Today on Real Radio.
How a Christian prays is with diligence. And audacity, yes, and diligence, verses 9 and 10 teach us. So I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you. The first thing that we see right here is that diligence develops hope in our lives, hope. You don't often think of prayer developing hope. But I want you to consider this, entertain this for a moment, that when we begin to pray and ask the Lord to move, He is formulating an answer for us. Well, He didn't answer me right away. Don't think that His delay means denial.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first verses of chapter 11 record the words of Messiah teaching on the topic of prayer. In fact, we recently presented our teacher's mini-series, When a Christian Prays. Now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How a Christian Prays.
We make fools of ourselves for things so much lesser than that. But I guarantee you, if something is so challenging of an issue to us, we will begin to pray like this. Most of our lives have never had something so important to us, though, to be quite honest with you. We give up too soon. We quit too soon. Jesus said, persist at it. That's what He's teaching us through the life of this man. Stay at it. Go for it. There's a sense of urgency here that creates a persistence. And that persistence that's brought about because of the urgency brings about a continuance of prayer. Jesus is saying, do that. The persistent calling. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was in prison. In fact, they were going to behead Peter the next day because it pleased all the Jews that James was killed, and they got all happy about it. So Herod intended to kill Peter the next day. The Bible says that the church gathered for prayer, and they began to pray, and they would not stop praying for Peter. The Bible says an angel showed up and released Peter. Pretty awesome. That's persistent prayer. What about persistent, passionate, relentless prayer? Nehemiah was like that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and so it was when Nehemiah heard the words that Jerusalem was torn down, that he sat down and he wept and he mourned for many days and he began to fast and pray before the God of heaven. That's it. Man, that's awesome. God listens. He's always listening. But how important is something to us? Oh, I really want this really bad. How bad do you want it? Hebrews chapter 5, this amazing verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says that in the days of his flesh, it's a reference to Christ, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. Well, that's amazing. With loud crying and tears, the Bible says about Jesus. And he prayed to the one who was able to save him from death. That's his Father. And he was heard because of his much piety or his holiness. Jesus prayed, and here's the Son of God. And he's praying in such a way that he's crying out with tears. It's amazing. Not only persistent prayer to stay at it, keep praying, but desperate. A Christian prays in an audacious way when they're desperate, when we're desperate with need. Jesus said in verse 8, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I love it. How many loaves of bread did the guy ask for? Three. But because the guy is now going to get up, three is no longer in his mind. You've seen it 1,000 times. It's as though the guy goes to his cupboard and he grabs 10 loaves and opens the door and says, here, take these. Just get out of here, will ya? And you see the guy walking back home. Woohoo! Looks like he's gone to Costco or something. He's got all this stuff. He's got all this bread. And again, Jesus is teaching by contrast. Do you have to go to God and beg and beg and beg and rant and rave? And no. He's saying if a human's like that, then shouldn't you be just a little bit more persistent in your prayer life when you're seeking the Lord? And listen, God knows what you have need of before you ask. We'll see that in a moment. I wonder how much time, this is just a side note, and we'll move on from it in a second. How much time do we waste because we pray in a way that in a sense is limiting God? Instead of us just saying, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. We'll pray sometimes so specifically that we're not open to anything else that God might have in mind. Think about that. We can get it so detailed that God may want to do something bigger, better. Well, number two in our study together, it is this: how a Christian prays is with diligence. An audacity, yes, and diligence, verses 9 and 10 teach us. So I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you. The first thing that we see right here is that diligence develops hope in our lives, hope. You don't often think of prayer developing hope, but I want you to consider this, entertain this for a moment, that when we begin to pray and ask the Lord to move, church, listen, He is formulating an answer for us. Well, He didn't answer me right away. Don't think that His delay means denial. Oh, no, don't think that. Well, I've been praying and He didn't answer. Wait, don't think that delay is denial of the request. God answers us in His timing. Okay, let's be honest. Sometimes He'll answer yes. Sometimes He'll answer no. Sometimes this is the worst answer of all. He answers wait. That hurts. God, do I go right or left? Wait. Are you His child? He's telling us right here, I'm going to answer you. Just don't think that my delay is a denial. Just wait. You know what sometimes I wonder? I know in my own life, I'm so glad sometimes God did not answer when I was praying because I wasn't ready for the answer. I knew what to ask for, but I wasn't ready for the answer. Huh? Hey, listen. It's summertime and people are meeting other people. Girls are meeting guys are meeting girls. There's love in the air. Pastor Jack, do you think this could be the man for me? I don't know, pray about it. Will you pray with me? Sure. God, if this is the guy, great. If it's not, cause him to never show up again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I've raised daughters, I know how to pray. But people, we begin to think, and you know, Pastor, I just really pray that this is the man. Whoa, no. Don't pray that prayer. Pray God's will be done. Yeah, I understand, Pastor, but you know what? I'm getting old. I'm 22, and he hasn't come yet. Mr. Perfect hasn't come yet. And I honestly say this. Now, just hang on a minute. You know, maybe you're ready to be married. And God's hearing your prayer. But what if Mr. Right for you ain't ready yet? What if God's got to get him ready? And she's never thought that before. Really? Yeah, maybe he needs another 6 months. Maybe another year. God's working something. A year. A year. Hey, listen, girl. Don't cave in and settle for second best. God knows the man.
Jack, can you flip that around a little bit for us guys?
God knows the girl for you. Listen, be very careful. God knows what's best for you. Ephesians 3:20 says that it is the Lord who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Okay, all you singles, jot that verse down. Ephesians 3:20. Don't settle for third best. Look, in my opinion, you settle for second best, you might as well just pick 25th best. Because when you get away from God's perfect will, then ouch. When we pray, we can pray diligently and with hope because God's going to answer. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask. Listen to this word. In the Greek, the word ask means to crave, desire, yearn, and long. And it means in the Greek present tense, keep on longing, keep on craving, keep on yearning when you're asking this prayer. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is saying, when you go to pray, pray craving, longing, and stay at it. Don't give up. Why, is God deaf? No. Do you really want what you're asking for? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus said, your Father knows the very things you have need of before you ask him. Well, then why do I need to ask him for? Because do you want those things? If God knows what you need, and he's ready to give it, he's ready to hand it out to you. But maybe you and I don't even know that yet. Finally, we stumble across the Lord, and there it is. The Father knows that's it. There you go. In a moment, we're going to read about the kids asking for, can I have an egg? You want an egg? Yeah, I want an egg, Daddy. Here's a scorpion. Chew on that for a while. Tell me how it is. No father's going to do that unless they're Stephen King's, Alfred Hitchcock kind of fathers. Nobody does that. We're going to hear about that in a moment. Dad, can I have some bread? Can I have a bagel? Watch this, guys. Here, chew on this. It's a rock. No parent's going to do that. When we ask, God has an answer for us. He's not evil. Jesus will even say in a moment, you guys are parents and you're all messed up weirdos and you know how to give your kids good stuff. Your father who's holy and nice and loving and kind, he knows what to give is even better. He's so good to us. We can pray with hope. Not only that, verse 9, we learn diligently we can pray because it causes anticipation. When we pray diligently to the Lord, we can pray and have anticipation about it. He uses the word seek. Seek and you will find. You ought to underline will. Look at this. Seek and you might find. Nope. Seek and you could find. No. Seek and if you're lucky, you'll find. Oh, no. Seek and you will find. The word seek is escalating up from the word ask. The word seek is this, again, in the Greek present tense, keep seeking over and over again by how? Hunting, stalking, and searching it out. It's a hunting term. You know that great scene, that brilliant, manly scene of Elmer Fudd hunting the rabbit? Shh, he says, I'm hunting rabbit. He's seeking, hunting, he's prowling for it. That's the word seek. You not only ask, keep on asking, 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 craving. You take the craving of what you're seeking the Lord about this way by hunting after it. This is wild wording. We are to passionately pursue the Lord. Sometimes I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, sometimes we pray a prayer, we're not even paying attention to the prayer we're praying. So then how will we know in the day when God answers the prayer that we prayed for, if we weren't paying attention, if the answer comes, how will we ever know? Oh, God, amen. Well, I got to get my coffee and go to work. And then God answers the prayer that you're blabbing. You weren't even aware of it. God answers. How can you thank him when you don't even know what you prayed for? Oh, you know, God, get me to work on time. Yeah. You're not even thinking because you're thinking about the oven or you're thinking about something else or the basketball game. And then God answers your prayer. You don't even know how to thank him. Intelligent prayer. Diligent prayer. Anticipating in prayer. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, Jesus says, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. Wow, that's praying with anticipation, isn't it? Don't you want, look, if you're sick, the last thing you want to do is have somebody come up and pray for you. Oh, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? Yeah, sure. God, we know you heal. I mean, we read about it in the Bible. I've never seen it personally. A lot of people get sick. It's no big deal that my brother's sick here. So, I don't know, God, I guess, you know, do whatever you want to do. And, you know, amen. Oh, boy. Look, if that's how you pray, do not pray for me. In fact, you want the best prayers ever? Like little Chloe. You get the little ones like that to pray for you. Listen, I no matter what happens, I will succeed if the children's ministry is praying for me. You know why? They're so cool. God, Father, Lord, huh? Persistent and believing. Bless Pastor Jack. You think God's going to say to those little ones, no, not today. You know what? He may be upset with me. I think he'll still bless me for them. He's so good. Anticipation. We can anticipate when we pray. Now watch this. When we pray, and you guys have done this. When we pray, we'll even check the time. Father, we're asking you now. Remember, we've prayed like this before. Lord, we're asking you right now at 10:30. Why? Because we're praying with anticipation and confidence. When the Christian prays in a diligent way, diligence produces confidence when we pray. If we stay at prayer, God's going to answer, builds more confidence. Knock. He uses a more intense word even still. Knock and it will be open to you. What an amazing thing. The word knock here means, the best word, it's kind of a funny word for us in this day and age, but the word means to rap. The word knock is the word rap. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm talking about when you just knocking, you're rapping on that door. Somebody may say, "Will you quit your rapping? What is it?" That's what Jesus is using the word knock, 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 knock. Neighbor, open up. Knock, 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 knock. I mean, just driving you crazy. Jesus says, knock like that in your prayers. I'm convicted. How often do I do this? How often do you do this? Now, I know if we took time to go through everyone's story, I can tell you, maybe a couple of times in my life, I know I prayed like that. I was really sick one time for a long time. I remember praying like that. I was in a crisis, so I prayed like this. I remember when Ashley was 8 months old. She was at St. Jude's Hospital. They put her in quarantine, and the pediatric hematologist came out to us and said, there's about a 50% chance that she'll survive tonight. What? Oh, you'll pray like this. You'll knock the door of heaven down when you're desperate enough. Have you been desperate like that before? A brother in our church, a wonderful usher in our church, just lost his son, killed in an accident. Family distraught. You pray like that. I'm just so glad that our God is big in the difficulties. You say, Jack, I've never prayed like that before. Sit, listen to him. When he gives you something, you'll start praying like this. So that when the crisis comes, you'll know how to pray. Church, I got to tell you something. And I am praying in confidence for this. I believe this is going to happen. It's not because I drummed it up. In fact, the whole thought came at a very depressing time for me. But I highly encourage you to pray, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Why? Because you guys know that when I prepared for that 7-week-long study on exposing Islam in America, I got so depressed. You want to get depressed? Read the Quran. I mean to tell you, you'll get depressed. I was so depressed and gave those studies and I was so down. And then the Lord began to strengthen my heart in the Word. The Bible. All right. Okay, great. And I got to tell you something. I went and bought recently a little journal. I encourage you to do that. Guys, we're not prone to journaling. And I don't even think I'm actually journaling. But you know what? God, I'm asking you to revive America, revive the church, send revival. And then you date it. July 22nd, 2007. And then I'm waiting for the answer. Number one, I believe I'm praying in accordance with God's will. He wants to do it. Number two, we need it. We need it badly, right? When you start praying like that, oh God, send revival, please, we need it. And then you start listening to the news and you start seeing what's going on in the community. You start seeing what's happening in the world. And it feeds one another. Instead of getting depressed, God, we qualify for revival. We're messed up. We need help. The government can't save us. Nothing can save us. God, you can do it. God, please. And then you start asking, you start seeking, and you start knocking. And you're going to know when we start knocking. Because I'm not going to knock by myself. As a church, we're going to get together in the next few months, and we're going to start knocking on the door of heaven. God, hear our cry. Hear our prayer. And we're going to seek him. And I believe he's going to answer. We can pray like that with confidence. And finally, under this point, the Christian prays with diligence, verse 10, because diligence creates assurance. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. What an awesome thing. Jesus is saying, you ask, cry out, seeking, knocking, the answer is going to come. Comfort's going to come. Relief will come. You see that in your life. Look, you guys, the letters are written in red. How do you get away from that? It's there. I mean, you got to look at that for everyone who asks. And so it's incumbent upon you and I. We're the ones that have to ask. So we ask. But again, how desperate we are, and how hungry are we, and how sure are we? You might say to me, Jack, are you asking us to bug God? No, God cannot be bugged. I'll give you two pictures. One I'll give you right now, and the second one I hope I remember. When Lisa, my wife Lisa, used to work for Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Costa Mesa, and she'd see the people coming into his office. There are appointments, you know. I mean, there's stuff that came in. Pastor Chuck, Billy Graham's on the phone. Can you imagine? People coming in from all over the world, appointments. You know who didn't have an appointment? They didn't need one. The cars would pull up, or the van would pull up, and kids would climb out, little ones. You know who they were? His grandkids. And it didn't matter if the Pope was in his office. The kids, the little ones blow right past the counter, right past the pastors, right past the front office secretaries. The door flies open. And I saw this once in my life, sitting in his office. The door flies open. The kids come in. It looks like ants. They come in on the desk, sitting on his lap, putting M&Ms on the top of his head. Skittles all over the... He's loving it. The kids are completely just out of control, having a ball. It didn't matter if you're in the office or not. You were not his grandkid. The grandkids arrived. And it's the office, this very holy, solemn place. The door flies open. Papa, papa! All this mayhem goes on. Why? The kids came in. When we pray, that's how it's supposed to be like that. When we pray, the door flies wide open. We come right up into the Father's lap.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How a Christian Prays. It's a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 13. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills also has other media outreaches. For instance, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. By the way, hischannel.com also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. You can find out more by visiting hischannel.com or simply click the link at realradioactive.org. That's our website, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.